Romans chapter 10, which is actually the last four verses of 9 and the 21 verses of chapter 10. And you have the little handout in front of you. I wonder if the people in the back get a, if they have a handout or not. Okay. I'll read the first paragraph of the chapter, and I'll explain the titles, Solus Christus and the rest, when we do the exposition. Beginning at the very top. So what have we been saying so far in this letter? Paul asks, is it really possible that pagan Gentiles, outsiders, a people not even trying to get righteousness like Israel was, is it possible that these Gentile believers are the people who are now being given God's righteousness, his approval, his gift of acceptance, and the righteousness given to simple faith? Is Israel, who is striving for a righteousness which is given to law achievers, the people doing it, to people who work, are they not getting the divine righteousness? Exactly, says Paul. And I will tell you why. Because they are not seeking their righteousness on the basis of faith, simple faith, but on the basis of their doings, the guy going up the ladder. And that's how they think God is received or gotten. They stumbled over the stone of stumbling. Just as Scripture predicted, and this is predicted in Isaiah 28, verse 16. Look, says the Lord, I have placed in Zion, that is in Israel, a stone of stumbling and a rock that trips up. But the person trusting oneself to him will never be put to shame. This is the word of the Lord. And Kathy, if you would lead us in prayer, please.
Just saw Don and Lee come in, Youth First people with a terrific mission in South LA. And we just got back late last night from an all-staff Young Life thing in Orlando. And we hadn't been to one of these for about 8 years. When we were there 8 years ago, there were 2,000 people there from all over the world, Young Life people from all over the world. Yeah, and this last time there were 5,000, and whereas before there were 60-some countries represented, there were 99 countries represented this time. And I think one of the most moving things to me is that whether it's Dawn and Youth First or these kids all over Africa in Young Life, the idea of being a friend, there's no coercion trying to tell people that you love them, and there's no coercion in trying to tell kids that they're really loved by God. And I love the message of Jesus because it's not one of force. It's one of winning, of being a friend. And I don't know, it was a great visual. They had all kinds of skits and videos and things that the teams had put together from all these different countries, and one was the most moving. They had a lot of musicians from Africa. Africa was all over the place, and this one particular one that moved me so much was the team from Tanzania, and they had put a video together of a bunch of those leaders leading a march from one side of Tanzania to the other. They videoed as they went along, carrying the flags of the African nations. And when they got to their goal, which there was a big cross in front of a little church where they ended up, and they all they all put the flags down, and they all bowed down, knelt down, and it just reminded me, you know, brings tears to your eyes, of that text in Philippians where it says, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. It was really powerful, wasn't it, Dale?
Indeed, indeed.
It was so powerful, and it made you so grateful for the gospel of Jesus that we can be so proud of. So anyway, if Dale flubs up, he's tired, okay? But he did get this, he did get Romans 10 together. I never thought he would. I was trying to convince him. I thought he was going to do one of these texts that he's done ad infinitum, like Isaiah 53. I said, no, no, no. So I was trying to convince him to do a gospel story that I love that he hasn't taught for a long time. And he shoved Romans 10 in my face. So there you have it. Okay, let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, for the power of your truth today, thank you. We want the truth. Our text today says how generous you are to all who need you and call on you. Everybody that calls on you is going to be helped, is going to be saved. That is so bracing to our faith for the world's salvation. Feels like the whole earth is in the middle of a large rumbling earthquake these days. But it's all on your agenda, and we are so grateful, Lord. Reveal us to ourselves, Jesus, so that we get it finally, that nobody, including us, even Moses, for Pete's sake, he was given the law, he had fire, he had clouds, he didn't get it either. We all need to know nobody can go up high enough to get you down here. Nobody can be deep enough spiritually to get to you. We just can't do that. No, Lord, you came. You came to us. Help that, because a lot of us get really anxious and unsettled in a world like we live in today. Help the knowledge that you've come down here and you have it all on your agenda. Help it to settle our invasive anxieties and fears of what's coming up. Instead, Lord, bathe us in a gratitude that's so rich and so real that we are moved to follow you. Help us to hold fast to Jesus Christ, and for all the rest, remain totally uncommitted. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Kathy. Don't you wish she had more passion, more she'd be a little more enthusiastic. Very grateful. This passage I'm calling Solus Christus. That's the Latin, and you'll hear from the First Protestant Confession of Faith. Christ alone is the way of salvation. By grace alone, that's what sola gratia means, received by faith alone. And that's our theme. Wow. Look who's behind you, Kathy. Susan, great for your presence.
I have a good pastor from Wyoming with me.
Oh, good. Good. Thank you all for coming. Grateful. You got us these whiteboards. Actually, this one, I broke the other one, you knew that. But yes, I tried to take it into the sanctuary, and it hit and it broke the whole thing. I'm very gifted. The meaning of solus Christus, sola gratia, sola fide, is that salvation is something that Christ alone accomplished for us, and that it is given to us freely, gratia, and all we have to do is receive it. The person who feels this way, and some of you feel this way this morning, Jesus' first beatitude says the same thing. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Not those who really got it together. They will be, they are members of the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the brokenhearted, second beatitude, and so on. And this attitude called works. I'll do it, and I can get there. The Protestant Reformation revolted against this, and this is the Lutheran Book of Confessions, and in 1530, Article 4, Justification, this is the rock of the gospel and of the Reformation faith. Listen to it. It is also taught among us that we cannot obtain forgiveness of sin or righteousness before God by our own merits, works, or satisfactions, but that we receive forgiveness of sin and become righteous before God by grace for Christ's sake through faith. There you've got the sola gratia, solus Christus, sola fide. When we simply believe that Christ suffered for us and that for his sake our sin is forgiven and righteousness and eternal life are given to us, for God will regard and reckon this faith as righteousness, as Paul says in Romans 3 and 4. I'm very grateful for this teaching, and I think Paul is summarizing it here. In that first paragraph, he summarized, what have you been saying? Can complete pagans who don't even know their Old Testament, don't know all the Scripture, outsiders, he's writing to the Romans, who are mainly Gentiles, are they getting this righteousness now? Given to simple faith? By the way, the word faith in both Romans, the fifth gospel, and John, the fourth gospel, never has an adjective or an adverb in front of it, like deeply believing or truly believing or utterly or totally or all those. Every one of those adverbs adds works. You've got to really, and if you'll be really sincere, man, all those adjectives put things on us. So I add the word, and tell me if I'm perhaps messing Scripture up. Simple, every time I use believe or faith. Just simple faith, not some kind of accomplished faith. Is it given to simple faith? Is Israel, who is striving for righteousness given to law achievers, people who really keep the law, circumcise their male infants at 10 days, 8 days, keep the Sabbath, don't eat pork, all these other things that you're supposed to do to be really righteous. And I will tell you why, because they are not seeking their righteousness on the basis of faith, but on the basis of doings. I use that instead of works. Is it our doing? A lot of people teach this, even in the churches, that if we will do sincere, vigorous things, we'll be in. And that's not the gospel. They stumbled over the stone, and here it is. It was predicted in Isaiah 28. Look at it. The stone of stumbling, Scripture said, it predicted this several hundred years before Jesus. Look, I have placed in Zion, that is right in the middle of Israel, a stone of stumbling and a rock that trips up. But, and I think that means the crucified Christ, which is what offended Israel, that a Messiah wasn't a winner and that he got crucified by the Roman Empire. That's not the kind. So I'm going to place this. But the person trusting oneself to this stone of stumbling and rock that trips up will never be put to shame. I love this simple gospel, and I know that all of you are bringing particular needs today. If we just come to the Lord and say, help, we're in. It is that simple. Jesus' Beatitudes say it in a very fresh way, but the gospel, according to Paul, says it in a very theologically careful way. Let me now move to the second paragraph, and then if you have any comment on this. Dear Christian family, the longing of my heart and my prayer to God for my people Israel is this, their salvation. For I can say this for them, they do have a zeal for God, but it is an unenlightened zeal. Because ignoring the righteousness that comes down from God and striving to go up by their own righteousness instead, They have not submitted themselves to the righteousness that comes down from God in Christ. You see, Christ is the end. That's the word telos, teleology. That's the Greek word there. And that word end means the perfection, the limit, the finish of the law, so that there can be a righteousness for every single person who is simply trusting what God did in Christ. Sola fide. And this gospel, this is the irony. I think it produces more good works of gratitude than does the guilt of you. If you'll, unless you'll keep these things, you can't have God. I don't think guilt produces as many good works as gratitude. And I think that's the good news of that came with the crucified Messiah, whom God raised in order to vindicate him. Is there any comment or question on this? Lucy.
This stone of stumbling and a rock.
Yes.
Did you say it refers to Christ, or is it parallel to the tree in paradise that God said, don't eat from it? And but the person trusting oneself to him refers to Christ.
Yes.
But I don't know if the stone of stumbling and a rock that trips up,
yes,
is the parallel to the tree that we should not eat.
I don't think it's referring in this text to that tree. I think it's referring to what offended Israel in the first century was that Christians said this crucified Jesus was the Messiah. In 1 Corinthians 1, he says, the Greeks want wisdom, something brilliant. The Jews want the miraculous, the definitely spiritual. We proclaim a crucified Christ. This is ridiculous to the Greeks. Come on. This is very offensive to the Jews. But to us who believe, Christ is the wisdom of God and the power of God. God's whole way, coming in a feed barn and living in way obscure Galilee, out of the center of the history, going to a cross. They thought this is not messianic. But as you'll see on the other side of the page in Isaiah 53, this is precisely how the suffering servant was predicted that he would come. So I do think it's not.
So the stumbling thing is that because he is crucified.
The crucified Christ. How God brought Christ into history. Yes, Kathy, and then Scott.
My question also was like kind of like Lucy's. What is that stone? Because Isaiah was written well after the law, after whoever wrote that law down, and I think it's always nagging at me. Should Israel have been able to get that faith thing? I mean, should, when they were given the law, mm-hmm, had their heart been? It's so easy for all of us too to want to earn.
Yes.
So I think that's why we all, as Christians, end up resorting to our own work so quickly,
yes,
and forgetting this. So I just wondered, in terms of old Israel, is your opinion that they would have been able to understand better before?
I think that's fair to Israel. I think. A crucified, I think it would have offended us if we were looking for a future Savior and the people came around and said, we had this guy who was homeless down in inner city Los Angeles and who was suffered the death penalty. He's God's Messiah. I think we might have thought, no, come on. So thank you. I think that's being fair to, I think we might have rejected him if Christ had come in this low form in those days. Scott, and then I'll be right back, Mary Louise.
It refers to what? Isaiah what? Isaiah
53. Yes.
Okay, thank you. Couldn't the stone be the law itself? You know, you're trying to strive for it. You're trying to achieve a goal. What trips you up? Well, it's the law that trips you up. You can't get
to where
you want to go.
We know that
because
now.
Because the stone gets in your way. You can't get around the law. You can't get over the law. You can't.
The he.
I'm wondering if it's like, if the he refers to the stone, you know, you're saying there's this rock that makes you fall, but Conversely, there is a he that will not put you to shame. It's like,
are they one and the same?
Yeah, is it the same idea, or is it two different points?
Yeah.
I'm thinking it's two different points, that the law is the stone.
Okay, interesting. Mary Louise, I'm coming. But the person trusting this stone and rock will never be put to shame. So,
if he is trusting the stone, I think it's two different points.
I tend to think of Christ as the rock, and he caused them to stumble because he came in such a lowly way. I've thought, Mary Louise.
Well, what about Peter? I know he can't be compared to Christ, but
yes.
Peter, Christ made him the rock.
Okay.
And he tripped several times.
Okay, he did. In fact, rocky is what Petros means. Petroleum means oil of the rock. And he was, and he fell right after. Remember that when he tried to correct Jesus? The very next story. So he was not so rocky. I think his nickname should have been Sandy rather than Rocky. I hope nobody is Sandy here. But yes, but clear this up, Sarah. Say something brilliant.
I'm going to clear that part up. I mean, I would love to go back to the original text and
yes.
see if there's what ambiguity there is and what he or him refers to there.
Okay.
You know, whether it's referring back to the stone or something else, or whether it could be two separate things. But what struck me as you were reading this time was this last thing about Christ is the end of the law.
Yes.
Because, and you have your little interpretation of
yes.
end there.
Yes.
Because I think there's a tendency to hear that and just think, yeah, he just sort of put it to bed. It was the end of it. It was the finish of it. You know, like he did away with the law. But this is really saying he's the end result of the law. He's the fulfillment of that.
And yes, he is.
I find that it's sort of troubling in, on one aspect and comforting on another, because it's this weird acknowledgement of human nature that when we're given a law to live up to,
yes.
this is how you must be, we will fail.
Yeah.
We will fall short of that.
Yeah.
And so the logical result of the law is that we fail and we need someone to come in and save us.
Good. So
and
God
in that way, Christ is the fulfillment. He's sort of the end result of the law. He's not putting it to bed, putting it to rest. He is the end result of the law. He is...
Good.
The ultimate conclusion of what that leads to, which
it
is, it says not good things about us in
yes.
many ways, because it means, but you were going to fail,
yeah.
and therefore Christ was necessary.
Yeah, that's
good, and Scott is agreeing with you, so we've got some consensus here in the class. All right. You know, the law, when you think of it in its purest form, the Ten Commandments, it doesn't say, thou shalt have no other gods, worship the Lord, and don't take his name, so on. It does not start like that. And then it doesn't say at the end, then thou shalt be, I shall be your God. Here's how, this is both in, it's in Deuteronomy 5 and Exodus 20. There are two times. And here's how the Ten Commandments begin. Listen, I am, not I will be if you'll keep these, I am the Lord, your, I like that word, God, who brought, past tense, brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Then it says, don't have any other gods except me. In other words, it starts with grace. You're in already. And those Ten Commandments, I think Christians want to keep. I mean, please let me be your God. Please don't make icons out of me. Please don't use my name carelessly. Please set aside one day a week to spend me. It doesn't say 6 days or five or three or half, but just one day, one out of seven. Then those are the four towards God, then they're not complicated. They're not like, not do 20 things. Then the next six are honor your father and your mother, don't kill anybody, be faithful in marriage, don't steal, don't lie about anybody, don't covet what other people have. That law is pretty good, I think, don't you? And it's given not as a set of conditions, but maybe it's our tendency, we begin to, then all of those things that begin to be built up. And the law was just not, and that's why I think the prophets began to predict the way God was going to save us. And it was by the crucified Messiah. I think that's what that rock, the rock, stone of stumbling is. Let's now go to the next paragraph. Dear Christian family, the longing of my heart And my prayer to God for my people Israel is their salvation. For I can say this for them, they do have a zeal for God, but it is unenlightened, because ignoring the righteousness that comes down from God and striving to go up by their own righteousness instead, they have not submitted themselves to the righteousness, the righteousness that comes down from God, who is Christ. You see, Christ is the end. Did I read that already then? Yes. Have I read this paragraph before? How am I doing? He's the end. Finish all these things that Sarah just said. For every single person who sits, here goes. Moses himself speaks of this righteousness. He was one who gave the law through God's mediation. Speaks of the righteousness that comes from law observance when he writes, "You shall keep my statutes and my ordinances, and by so doing you shall live." And notice the emphasis on our doing, Leviticus 18. But the righteousness that comes from faith says instead, "Do not say in your heart, 'Who shall ascend to heaven?'" Deuteronomy 30, that is, bring Christ down. Or, "Who can but descend to the abyss?" That is, to bring Christ up. No, the righteousness that comes with simple faith says this, quote, "The word is near you, right there on your lips and right there in your heart." That is the very word of faith in the Christ whom we proclaim. Because if we confess with our lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Just before class, Rick Penner said, maybe you could share it, Rick, how this is, that lips and heart passage may refer to the Gnostics. Could you share that with the class?